This evening we have two short readings. The first is from Hebrews chapter 10, and then we're going to turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. So Hebrews chapter 10, and reading from verse 32 to the end of the chapter. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And then to turn across to chapter 12, and to read from verse 1 to verse 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. May God bless the reading of his word. My plan is to preach four sermons on Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. As these verses are so full and rich, I felt I could hardly do them justice in one sermon. The fourth sermon will be during Easter week, when our midweek worship will be on Good Friday rather than the Wednesday evening. And so on Good Friday morning, we shall consider Jesus in verse 2 as enduring the cross and despising its shame. For this evening, I'd like us to think about the Christian life as a race, because in verse 1 of chapter 12, we are exhorted to run with endurance the race that is set before us, to run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, as you know, I'm sure the Bible uses all kinds of metaphors to help us understand the Christian life. In some places, we are walking with God. In other places, we are following the Good Shepherd as his sheep. In still other places, we're being led by the Holy Spirit. And all of these metaphors imply movement and progress, as does running the race. In other words, we're not meant as Christians to be standing still or going backwards. As John Bunyan reminds us, we are pilgrims in this world, and we are seeking to make progress each day. Now, once again, sorry to mention this yet again, but it's very important. Once again, this highlights the unbiblical nature of much modern evangelism. The sinner is urged to accept Jesus upon the understanding that through such acceptance, all is done and nothing more is needed. The problem is, it's not explained that this acceptance of the Lord is but the beginning and not the end. That this is but the beginning of the race. Or as Jesus puts it in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7 in Matthew, having come to him, we must now follow him along the narrow path which leads to life. Now, the race is a common metaphor, a fairly common metaphor for the Christian life in the Bible, and especially in Paul's letters. And we know that the citizens in the ancient Roman Empire were very much given to sporting events. And we know that the Olympic Games dates from ancient times. And Paul, in his letters, he uses these sporting events to help our spiritual understanding of what it is to be a Christian. One or two examples. In urging much-needed self-discipline upon the believers in Corinth, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." At the Lord's table last Sunday morning, we thought briefly about the words of Paul to the elders of the church in Ephesus, that God purchased the church with his own blood. Our Saviour is God in human form. Well, listen to something else Paul said to these church leaders about his future sufferings for Christ and the gospel. Acts 20 and verse 24. "But none of these things move me," says Paul, "nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy." That's how Paul saw himself, as running the race. And then in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, knowing that his life in this world was coming to its end, Paul wrote to Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." In other words, Paul could see the finish line just up ahead. All these years he'd been running faithfully, and now he could see the finish line. And he was looking forward to the prize, the crown of righteousness. So the Christian life is likened to a race. For some believers, the race is very short. It's something akin to a dash. Like the repentant thief on the cross, they come to faith in Jesus, take a few strides, and the finish line is crossed, and they are then with the Lord in paradise. For others, the race is more like a marathon. And some of us have been running this race now for 40, 50 years or even more. And we will indeed get to the finish line at the time of God's appointing. Now, here in Hebrews 12, verse 1, we learn two things about the race. There are many things we could say about the race, but there are two things here in verse 1. The first thing to learn is that this race is set before us. It is set before us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, I've read those words many, many times over many years, but their vital importance has only come home to me this week. The race is set before us, or in the NIV, it is the race marked out for us. Now think about those races that take place in the stadium. If you ever watch the athletics on the television or the Olympics or whatever, whether it's the sprint events, 100 meters, 200 meters, middle distance, 400 meters, 1500 meters, long distance, 5000 meters, 10,000 meters. In every race, the race is marked out. The runners must stay in lane for the sprint events, and for the distant events, they must stay on track. The race is clearly marked out for them. That's true even of the marathon outside of the stadium as the runners go around the streets of the city wherever the games are being held. The route is clearly marked out for them. In other words, in any running events, the athletes are not at liberty to go where they wish. They must run according to what is marked out for them, whether inside the stadium or even on the outside. And so it is, dear friends, with our spiritual race. We learn the race is set before us. It is marked out for us. Well, what does that mean in real terms? It means very simply that we must run our race according to the clear teachings of God's word. The race is marked out for us in Holy Scripture, how we are to be living day by day. Psalm 119, verse 32 in the King James Bible, the psalmist says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. In other words, we're not at liberty to run our own way, but only in God's way, the way that he has set before us in his holy word. And just as a slight aside, that text in Psalm 119, verse 32, shows us that we can only run in the way of God's commandments when God himself enlarges our hearts in holy love. It is the love of Christ that fuels our obedience. And that's why, as we'll think in a couple of weeks' time, we must run the race looking unto Jesus. Second Timothy 2, verse 5 comes to mind. Paul says, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And when it comes to running the race, it means running according to the course that has been marked out. And I think today there are too many professing Christians who've gone completely off track, wrongly thinking that freedom in the Spirit means disregarding the word breathed out by God through the Spirit. And so they tend to live on their emotions and their feelings. But we cannot separate spirit from word and word from spirit. If we are led by the Spirit will always lead us according to the word. So let's not run our own race according to our own desires and whims, but the race that's been set before us, the race marked out for us in the Scriptures. Now, the second thing to learn about the race here in verse 1 is that it must be run with endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And that word endurance takes us back to chapter 10 and verse 36. You have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, if you like, running the race according to his will and not your own, you may receive the promise, that is, that glory that God has promised in his word. The crown, the eternal prize. The race must be run with endurance. We must persevere in our faith and in our love as the fruit of our faith. Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, only those who endure to the end shall be saved. Now that makes sense, doesn't it, when we think of the Christian life as a race? Think of the athletics, think of the Olympic Games. There are no prizes at all for those who drop out of the race. There are only prizes for those who finish the race, who keep on going to the end of the race. And yet in the spiritual race, there are those who persuade themselves all is well. They're on the way to heaven because 30 years ago they accepted Jesus in a meeting, but 20 years ago, to all intents and purposes, they dropped out of the race. They're no longer walking with God, following Jesus, being led by the Spirit, no longer running the race that's marked out in the Word. And that's the whole point of Hebrews chapter 11 that we've been working our way through these past months. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and all the others, they endured to the end. In the strength that faith brings, they ran their race. Now, at times they were very weary. At times they did indeed go off track, but by God's grace returned. And at times they were tempted to drop out of the race altogether, but they kept on running. And as we will see next time, all of these Old Testament saints, according to verse 1 here in chapter 12, they comprise a great cloud of witnesses who surround us. And the idea seems to be that their race is won, and now they are urging us to keep on running until our race is won. And this is one of the great blessings in reading about the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints and being familiar with church history. For all of their faults and flaws, the saints in all ages inspire us and help us to keep going. Although he's not mentioned by name in Hebrews chapter 11, I've lost count of the times over the years when Elijah's experience after Mount Carmel has helped me to keep going as a believer and a preacher. After that great, exhilarating experience, God answering his prayer by fire, Elijah knows nothing has really changed. 1 Kings 19 verse 4, he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Lord, I am a complete and utter failure. I have accomplished absolutely nothing. And the Lord was so gracious to Elijah providing him with food and drink, letting him sleep a little more, taking him to the place of spiritual renewal to hear that small whisper. And that's been so helpful, so, so helpful over many years, that even a great godly prophet could feel like that, and God dealt so tenderly with him. How inspiring, for example, is the biography of someone like Adoniram Judson, the American missionary to Burma. I remember many years ago reading that great account to the Golden Shore. I just couldn't put it down. And how Judson and his wife, they face overwhelming setbacks and afflictions. But they kept running. And they didn't give up. They came through all of these things with the Lord's strength, through faith. How good it is to be familiar with the experiences of other believers. We need such examples of endurance. We need the inspiration, the motivation which other believers provide for us. That they ran their race with endurance, and against all the odds, humanly speaking, they came to the finish line to receive the eternal prize. And God enabled them to endure, and he will enable us to endure. And yet, one final thought, as we will see in this little mini-series leading up to Easter, it's interesting, the terminology here at the beginning of Hebrews 12, that these cloud of witnesses, these godly men and women of faith, they surround us and they encourage us. But we're not looking to them, are we, with the eyes of faith? Oh, yes, they do surround us. They encourage us as we consider all the things they overcame by faith. But we're not looking to them. Our faith isn't directed to the saints, but to the Saviour. We are looking unto Jesus only. Because only Jesus can give us the power, the strength that we need to keep on running. So in the words of the hymn writer, may we run the race before us, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as we onward go. What's that expression just comes to mind? Onwards and upwards. That's the Christian life. Amen.